Let's move on to a topic that is related to Mountcastle's proposal and is equally surprising. The inputs to your cortex are all basically alike. Again, you probably think of your senses as being completely separate entities. After all, sound is carried as compression waves through air, vision is carried as light, and touch is carried as pressure on your skin. Sound seems temporal, vision seems mainly pictorial, and touch seems essentially spatial. What could be more different than the sound of a bleating goat versus the sight of an apple versus the feel of a baseball? But let's take a closer look. Visual information from the outside world is sent to your brain via a million fibers in your optic nerve. After a brief transit through the thalamus, they arrive at the primary visual cortex. Sounds are carried in via the 30,000 fibers of your auditory nerve. They pass through some older parts of your brain and then arrive at your primary auditory cortex. Your spinal cord carries information about touch and internal sensations to your brain via another million fibers. They are received by your primary somatosensory cortex. These are the main inputs to your brain. They are how you sense the world. You can visualize these inputs as a bundle of electrical wires or a bundle of optical fibers. You might have seen lamps made with optical fibers where pinpoints of colored light appear at the end of each fiber. The inputs to the brain are like this, but the fibers are called axons, and they carry neural signals called action potentials, or spikes, which are partly chemical and partly electrical. The sense organs supplying these signals are different, but once they are turned into brain-bound action potentials, they are all the same. Just patterns. If you look at a dog, for example, a set of patterns will flow through the fibers of your optic nerve into the visual part of your cortex. If you listen to the dog bark, a different set of patterns will flow along your auditory nerve and into the hearing parts of your brain. If you pet the dog, a set of touch sensation patterns will flow from your hand through fibers in your spine and into the parts of your brain that deal with touch. Each pattern, see the dog, hear the dog, feel the dog, is experienced differently because each gets channeled through a different path in the cortical hierarchy. It matters where the cables go to inside the brain. But at the abstract level of sensory inputs, these are all essentially the same and are all handled in similar ways by the six-layered cortex. You hear sound, see light, and feel pressure, but inside your brain there isn't any fundamental difference between these types of information. An action potential is an action potential. These momentary spikes are identical regardless of what originally caused them. All your brain knows is patterns. Your perceptions and knowledge about the world are built from these patterns. There's no light inside your head. It's dark in there. There's no sound entering your brain either. It's quiet inside. In fact, the brain is the only part of your body that has no senses itself. A surgeon could stick a finger into your brain and you wouldn't feel it. All the information that enters your mind comes in as spatial and temporal patterns on the axons. What exactly do I mean by spatial and temporal patterns? Let's look at each of our main senses in turn. Vision carries both spatial and temporal information. Spatial patterns are coincident patterns in time. They are created when multiple receptors in the same sense organ are stimulated simultaneously. In vision, the sense organ is your retina. An image enters your pupil, gets inverted by your lens, hits your retina, and creates a spatial pattern. This pattern gets relayed to your brain. People tend to think that there's a little upside-down picture of the world going into your visual areas, but that's not how it works. There is no picture. It's not an image anymore. Fundamentally, it is just electrical activity firing in patterns. Its image-like qualities get lost very rapidly as your cortex handles the information, passing components of the pattern up and down between different areas, sifting them, filtering them. Vision also relies on temporal patterns, which means the patterns entering your eyes are constantly changing over time. But while the spatial aspect of vision is intuitively obvious, its temporal aspect is less apparent. About three times every second, your eyes make a sudden movement called a saccade. They fixate on one point and then suddenly jump to another point. Every time your eyes move, the image on your retina changes. This means that the patterns carried into your brain are also changing completely with each saccade. And that's in the simplest possible case of you just sitting still looking at an unchanging scene. In real life, you constantly move your head and body and walk through continuously shifting environments. Your conscious impression is of a stable world full of objects and people that are easy to keep track of. But this impression is only made possible by your brain's ability to deal with a torrent of retinal images that never repeat a pattern exactly. Natural vision, experienced as patterns entering the brain, flows like a river. Vision is more like a song than a painting. Many vision researchers ignore saccades and the rapidly changing patterns of vision. Working with anesthetized animals, they study how vision occurs when an unconscious animal fixates on a point. In doing so, they're taking away the time dimension. There's nothing wrong with that in principle. Eliminating variables is a core element of the scientific method. But they're throwing away a central component of vision, what it actually consists of. Time needs a central place in a neuroscientific account of vision. With hearing, we're used to thinking about sound's temporal aspect. It is intuitively obvious to us that sounds, spoken language, and music change over time. You can't listen to a song all at once any more than you can hear a spoken sentence instantaneously. A song only exists over time. Therefore, we don't usually think of sound as a spatial pattern. In a way, it's the inverse of the case with vision. The temporal aspect is immediately apparent, but its spatial aspect is less obvious. Hearing has a spatial component as well. You convert sounds into action potentials through a coiled-up organ in each ear called the cochlea. Tiny, opaque, spiral-shaped, and embedded in the hardest bone in the body, the temporal bone. The cochlea was deciphered more than half a century ago by a Hungarian physicist, Georg von Bexy. Building models of the inner ear, von Bexy discovered that each component of sound you hear causes a different portion of the cochlea to vibrate. High-frequency tones cause vibrations in the cochlea's stiff base. Low-frequency tones cause vibrations in the cochlea's floppier and wider outer portion. Mid-frequency tones vibrate intermediate segments. Each site on the cochlea is studded with neurons that fire as they are shaken. In daily life, your cochleas are being vibrated by large numbers of simultaneous frequencies all the time. So each moment, there is a new spatial pattern of stimulation along the length of each cochlea. Each moment, a new spatial pattern streams up the auditory nerve. Again, we see that this sensory information boils down to spatial-temporal patterns. People don't usually think of touch as a temporal phenomenon, but it is every bit as time-based as it is spatial. You can carry out an experiment to see for yourself. Ask a friend to cup his hand, palm face up, and close his eyes. Place a small ordinary object in his palm, a ring, an eraser, anything will do, and ask him to identify it without moving any part of his hand. He won't have a clue other than weight and maybe gross size. Then tell him to keep his eyes closed and move his fingers over the object. He'll most likely identify it at once. By allowing the fingers to move, you've added time to the sensory perception of touch. There's a direct analogy between the fovea at the center of your retina and your fingertips, both of which have high acuity. So touch, too, is like a song. Your ability to make complex use of touch, such as buttoning your shirt or unlocking your front door in the dark,